Well, welcome everyone to Freedom's Way Ministries. I want to welcome you here tonight. I'm excited to start. If anyone is tuning in and listening to this online, we want to welcome each and every one of you to join us live or just keep listening to us online. You can find all that information at freedomswayministries.com and spiritmindbodyconnection.com. So who dialed in? You want to say hello?
Hello.
Hi, thanks for joining me tonight and being the first person to say hi.
Hi, Gretchen.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
hi, Gretchen.
Hi,
Ms. Gretchen.
Welcome. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Ms. Gretchen.
Thanks
hi there. Hello, everybody.
Up. Hey, Mr. Mitch.
Hi, there, sis. All right, I'll go ahead and mute. I don't want to make all the noise. I just landed in Orlando.
Right. You're always somewhere new. That's great. Well, this is wonderful. I'm really excited today. So I'm just going to go ahead and get us started, if that's all the same with everybody. And then we can get to the deliverance part at the end. So let's go. Give me a second here and we'll get going. All right. Well, praise the Lord forever. This is Gretchen, and we are in part two of overcoming shame and discovering your true identity. And I was on this on Monday, and it's been a test this week, I gotta say, but I'm bouncing up and I'm feeling strong. So I am excited to be here tonight. If you do want to hear part one, you can find that on the website, Spirit Mind Body Connection. There is an audio page. I highly recommend you listen to it. Today I was being tested, and I went to the door points teaching and heard what I needed to hear in the teaching and was set free. So, you know, don't be afraid to use that. That's a resource for you. Okay, so let's begin with a prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed, hallowed, hallowed be your name. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The earth is full of your glory. And your angels fill your temple. There is no limit to you, Lord, your power and your glory, but we limit you by believing the lies of hell. And so we praise you, Lord, that you have given us a new heart, a new spirit, one that desires to hear from you, be with you, receive your love, and be made free. So, Father, I thank you. I bind every unclean spirit or spirit guide that could be messing or influencing with me, with the leadership at Freedom's Way Ministries, with anyone listening to this or in the sound of my voice. And I say, the Lord himself rebuke you through me. I forbid you to interfere, interlope, or intrude with this message tonight. And I thank you, Father, that in advance that you loose angels of burning judgment to come against every spirit that answers to shame or that unclean, unloving, defiling spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, praise the Lord. Excuse me. So, as we expose the lie of shame to the light of the truth of God, because again, it is the darkness, and we want to bring God's light to it, we can all begin to remove it forever from our hearts. You know, and the Lord makes an appeal to each of us to recognize shame for the thief that he is and to give it up to the law of love. We who are created to be the glory of God have allowed the enemy to smother God's glory in shame. If you can't say amen, say ouch. You know, we want to repeat the verse that clearly points this out, and that's in Psalms 4:2, which reads, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? That means lying. Those lying vanities. Say law. That means think about that. So our first session, again, that's online, began to answer this appeal as we started to recognize our agreement with hell so that we can turn our love back towards God and reject the lie of the devil. Because unless we separate ourselves from shame, there is no way that we can be the shining expression of God's glory. So, let's gain some more understanding and freedom. It is the truth that makes us free. And the truth is that Jesus was shamed, so shamed, and humiliated so that you and I could be free from shame and walk in his resurrected glory. You know, truth is not simply something to believe. Truth is a person to know. He is the way, the truth. He is the truth. And when we are truly abiding in the Lord, then shame has no hold on us because we are filled with him, with the truth. And, you know, the links of lies that make up this heavy chain of shame, which is binds us, you know, it's all forged in hell out of this one primary lie. I am defective. The message of God's truth are designed to weaken the links and to break the chains of shame. And the more we believe we are inherently flawed, the more our choices in life are lessened. We'll feel dehumanized and become spiritually bankrupt. And when shame has become internalized so that we think it's just me, then the scripture we know so well and quote so often about being a new creature is really nothing more than head knowledge and, unfortunately, lip service. In our hearts, we simply just don't believe it. And here's the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, and here's the key. We have to be in Christ, not in shame. Jesus was shamed so that we don't have to live in it or with it. It's called the divine exchange. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So dealing with shame is not an option. We're going to deal with it here, or because we don't want to deal with it there. How's that? So Jesus said, if you don't honor me, I won't honor you. In Mark 8:38, he said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Shame is a sin that will hold us in its grip until we call it out by name. You know, we have to begin to recognize, praise God, our personal responsibility and become committed to a life of love, of honesty, and discipline. You know, otherwise, we may vacillate between neurotic behavior and character disorder caused by the functionally automatic responses of being shame-bound. You know, neurotic behavior exhibits itself in the automatic assumption that we are at fault whenever there's a conflict. And character disorder automatically assumes the conflict is always someone else's fault. You see, there's no balance in the inability to assess a situation with an objective eye for true personal accountability. You know, and here's another truth to absorb. The characteristics of our true identity are identical to those of Jesus Christ. He is what we could be if we fully followed the plan God has for us, free of shame. You know, and while not one of us is there yet, and a complete match to the person that we are created to be, I know that like me, each one of us has the desire to rise to the level of our intended creation. I mean, that's just in there, wanting to be birthed. You know, but what generally happens is that we see the person that we are is not our true self. You know, it's that blend of all the yuck and the defiling. And then we begin to focus on the difference, seeing what we perceive as flaws in our character, or those things that make us just yuck. And then the shame sets in. It puts down roots and it saps our joy and steals our creativity. So we're going to look briefly at a few door points for shame. And I'm sure we're going to go into depth on all these later, but for now, this is really just a cursory look. We're like in part two. And it will likely spark some memory recall of situations we need to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with. Again, the Door Points teachings on spiritmindbodyconnections.com. That's the one I listened to this morning. It was very helpful. But the first, you know, is generational shame. And feeling generational shame is like having a hole in your soul that feels like it can never be filled, no matter what we try. So, for example, consider the young boy who grew up in poverty and was shamed because his family was poor, or no one in the family, maybe for generations, ever amounted to anything. They were either drunks or criminals or maybe just down on their luck or whatever, but, you know, the kid was ashamed of the family circumstances. Now, this person was driven to making money, trying to be rich to escape the shame, but the shame is still there. Being successful in the eyes of the world does not take the shame away. More than likely, there were word curses spoken over him as well, like, you'll never amount to anything. You're just like your father. You'll probably go to jail just like your brother. You know, whatever. But there's other situations of generational shame as well. And in generational shame, even though we ourselves aren't violating moral laws or living outside of ethical standards, still that feeling of that shame remains. Another area of shame that we wanted to talk about tonight is the shame that enters because of the circumstances of a person's birth. And, you know, we'd be prudent with our politics now to be aware of this as we minister to those in and outside the body of Christ, you know. There are several instances where shame enters, but the good news is they can all be handled by the blood of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. You know, first we have the situation where the mother wants to hide her pregnancy. And this kind of shame entering the spirit of the unborn child causes the person to hide also. You know, this person doesn't want to be seen and is very uncomfortable being noticed. Other people characterize the person as shy when in fact they're shame bound. And if the mother or the father doesn't acknowledge the child, the resulting shame is the same. You know, conversely, when the actual birth is treated as a family affair where there's lots of people in attendance, shame can also result, especially if the birth is captured on film. I mean, this is the shame of nakedness felt by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were always naked. But they weren't ashamed until Satan's nature came in. Let me say that again. Get it. They were always naked, but they weren't ashamed till Satan's nature joined them for from within. And now we are born with both the traits of Satan and the nature of God, praise the Lord. So the shame of the devil makes even a newborn feel shame at his nakedness. And then we have the case of unmarried parents and their unwanted child. There is a scriptural curse that has to be broken in this case before the shame can be overcome. Give me a second here. I want to make sure we do this. Thank you. Okay. So we're talking about the bastard's curse. That's the unwanted, unmarried parents. There's a scripture curse that has to be broken in this case before the shame can be overcome. And this curse causes a person to be unable to fit in and to be treated like an outsider. That's in Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So let me explain about curses. Yes, it's true. Jesus took all curses, and that includes the curse of illegitimacy. However, we have to appropriate what he did by taking responsibility for giving the people involved and repenting. That way, we can apply into our lives the freedom from the curses that Jesus died to give us. So even though Jesus made the way for our salvation 2,000 years ago at the cross, none of us were born saved. None of us were born free of curses or illness or poverty or emotional instability either. And being born again puts us into eternal life. I mean, we have appropriated that piece of our salvation when we believed and accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. But you know, someone has to recognize and take possession of the curse in order to give it up to the Lord. You cannot disown something unless you own it first. There is also shame in rape. When a child is conceived under this kind of trauma, the child's spirit picks up the trauma and shame and the distress of the mother. In another situation, there may have been a multiple birth where one of the siblings died. The one or more that survived may receive shame for having lived. It's called a survivor's guilt. I know a lady here, known her most of my life. She was a twin, and her twin died in an accident, and she's been so sick ever since with Crohn's and irritable bowel, and she still to this day thinks she should be the one who should have died and her sister should have lived. I mean, it's just tragic, really. And if a child survives an abortion attempt, there's tremendous shame involved. Not only are they unwanted, but the one who was supposed to protect them tried to kill them. I mean, how do you live in trust with a situation like that? You know, and of course, then there's the gender rejection. Dad wanted a boy, you were a girl. Or maybe your parents wanted a girl and you were a boy. Either way, shame sets in. And this is especially deep wounds in those women whose generational roots are in a country whose cultural values men and devalues women. Other door points of shame include shame being used as a motivator or a way to manipulate by parents or teachers, especially when it's comparing to another. For instance, you should be more like your brother, or why can't you make good grades like your sister, or other kids in this class don't have the problems you do learning this material. It's not all that hard, you know, and there's teasing, there's labeling, you know, you're so skinny you could hide in the shadow of a grapevine. Four eyes, klutz, Miss Piggy, you know, whatever it was that you were labeled with that brought you shame, even if you were able to laugh about it outwardly, it still hurts. You know, and another shame bearer is that of unrealistic expectations placed on us. You know, my daughter Zoe, she says, expectations are resentments waiting to happen. But it also can bring a lot of shame. You know, and as children, we were expected to act beyond our age sometimes, or beyond our experience, or even beyond our wisdom and our emotional maturity. You know, maybe you were put in charge of your younger siblings And someone got hurt. Something went wrong. Maybe someone even died. I mean, that's terrible. And the message you received was, you're inadequate. You know, you are wrong. There's something wrong with you. How could you do that? You know, so, you know, along this line is the parent that raised the standard after the task was finished. Like, this kind of thing, like, your report card looks great, but why didn't you make straight A's? So this is another pattern that follows us into adulthood. And those who were subjected to this kind of shaming often become the perpetuators of it towards others. You know, abusers were abused, hurt people hurt people. So someone asks you to do something and you do it only for them to say, thanks, but why did you do it that way? Or correct you for taking so long or something else, you know. Definitely shame-making stuff there. That's called conditional love. It's not love at all. How about punishment? When we receive for doing something innocently, also can bring shame in our hearts. Like, so the little kid who hears a dirty word and then repeats it without knowing what he means, and then he gets punished and shamed, you know, in front of everyone, or the shock and disappointment of the parents. You know, it's really the parents' own shame that causes them to react in such a way that they shame their child. And, you know, finally, trauma. Oh, my gosh, right? Trauma. That creates fertile ground for shame to grow. Sure does. I have a big testimony on that, you know. There are two kinds of trauma that bring shame. The first is characterized by lack. You know, it centers around the things that we did not receive. If we didn't get the love, the affection, acceptance, positive attention, you know, even have your basic needs met, that kind of thing. This is just terrible. They've done experiments on rice and on water, you know, but the rice experiments are fascinating. They took rice and they would, you know, put them in sterile environments of cooked rice. And with some rice, they'd speak nice, and some rice they'd speak horribly to, and some rice they neglected. And the rice that was neglected had black rot. It was just terrible. I mean, what a striking difference what neglect does. Oh my, I'm sorry, I'm getting stirred up about this this unclean thing. But, you know, that's the first kind of trauma is lack. And the second kind of trauma, that's the one we think of most commonly. That's characterized by what we did receive, what happened to us, those hurtful, harmful things. You know, the abuse we suffered at the hands of those who were supposed to nurture us, love us, care for us, cover us, protect us, you know, but even from strangers, you know, it all works together to keep us bound in shame. And one of the things that makes shame so hard to deal with is that shame-bound people suffer in silence. Most of us, even if we can see a problem, don't even reach out to help. You know, and by not trying to help a person talk through a situation, or by glossing it over, we actually assist shame. You know, I'm reminded of this scripture, he who gathers not with me scatters. You know, every single one of us has needs. And not one of us should be ashamed of that. You know, according to behavioral science, people have a few common needs, and these are, one, the need to be loved unconditionally. Two, a need to feel that we have intrinsic value. A need to feel a measure of power in our lives. We need to be acknowledged or known. We all have a need for an avenue by which to be heard so that we can feel important. We have a need to feel that we are protected by someone. And we also have a basic need to feel understood when we express ourselves. You know, and it's totally okay to need these things. The truth is, these are given to us by God. You know, and we are actually designed by God with these needs inside us. So it's normal to need these things. These are things we should be pursuing in our lives. You know, God did not create us to be independent. He created us to be interdependent on Him and on each other. In other words, in the world, maturity is thought to equate to independence, so like how well we can make it on our own. But in the kingdom of God, maturity is measured by our dependence on our Creator and our willingness to call on others and to assist others. You know, for God, it's all about relationship. And that lie from hell, it will tell us that needing something, even these basic needs, is an expression of selfishness, when in fact, it's a part of the growing up process to be able to recognize and express a need, to receive the need met without shame. So let's all see the truth right now that God sometimes uses people to meet these basic common needs, but not always. You know, He is not only capable of meeting each and every one of these needs Himself, but He is willing and ready. But there's a catch, and the catch is that we have to allow Him to. If you don't have a special someone in your life that fills these needs, oh, beloved, turn to God. And you will find that He loves you unconditionally. He will always assure you of your value. He gives you His power. He knows you. And He knows you best, even better than you know yourself. And He listens to you so you can know you're important. He protects you, and He understands you. I'm so grateful for my relationship with Him. The last thing to talk about in this series, Session of Shame, is how it relates to sexual stuff. Okay, lots of times, we talked a little bit about that in regards to birth. And a lot of times shame is linked to body parts when children are simply being curious and discovering things about themselves. So, you know, there is the shame of nakedness. There's the shame of nakedness in sex. But then there's the child who's simply being curious and to discover things about himself. So for instance, the way A child learns to touch his nose and say nose, and everybody's pleased and encouraging. And then he goes to his ears and his eyes and his fingers and his toes. But then one day, little Billy comes into a room full of company, pulls his pants down and says, "My pee-pee." Well, what happens then? Mom jerks him up by the ear or by the arm and angrily takes him out of the room. So instead of being pleased that Billy discovered and named a body part, his parents punish him and cause him shame around it. And then what he thought would bring him praise became a source of shame. And now he has to disown his own body parts. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that has something to do with some gender confusion. You know, in another example, shame is prevalent in young children who are sexually abused by relatives or strangers, you know, especially if they're told, "This is our little secret," or "I'm doing this because I love you." You know, shame makes it practically impossible for this person to develop a healthy sexual relationship later in life with a husband or a wife. Love itself can become twisted and shameful. In 2 Samuel, when Amnon deceived and raped his half-sister Tamar, she said, "Where will I take my shame?" 2 Samuel 13, 11 to 13. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come lie with me, my sister." And she answered him and said, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not you this folly. And I, where shall I cause my shame to go?" You know, the thing is, there is no place we can take shame except the cross of the Lord Jesus. You know, like Tamar, most people suffer shame in silence for years. Here, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to share some of my testimony. I was raped at gun and knife point as a virgin. That's part of my testimony, okay? And I developed a yeast infection, and I needed help. And I was so terribly ashamed that I had to eventually get my mom to get me to a doctor to get some help, that I never told her what happened to me. I would rather have had her think that I was just, you know, did it of my own free will. I had such, you know, that I was just messing around with some local guy. I didn't want to tell her. And, you know, that's what shame will do. And it's, that's why I said I'm mad at it tonight. So I'm excited to get to the prayer, but hold on, we're getting there soon. Okay. So, yeah. So where will shame go? Well, shame goes nowhere except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, shame, there is no argument against the blood. Hallelujah. So just start leaving now from God's people so you don't all have to leave in a rush later. Praise the Lord. You know, like Tamar, like me, you know, most people suffer shame in silence. And shame is used by the kingdom of darkness to steal the value and self-esteem of women. You know, statistically, 1 in 4 women in America is sexually abused before 16. That is, as a child, what they're calling, you know, pedophilia at this point. And those are just the ones we know about, 1 in 4. And just as we individuals have lost our identity, our society has lost its identity as well. You know, I haven't seen the current statistics, but 10 years ago, there were over 60 million victims of sexual abuse in America. There were 75 million alcoholics. And physical violence was occurring in 15 million homes. And shame, you know it, shame is part of it all. Shame is holding this in place. Hurt people hurt people. And shame damages us, damages our hearts, and then we damage others. Because we can't be vulnerable or intimate with a person. We then find other avenues of intimacy. You know, that's not going to work. So alcoholics are intimate with their drinking. Workaholics are intimate with their jobs. Pornography, and other things become outlets for intimacy. But it's all false. And false intimacy is a lot more shame into our lives. In the New Testament, there are a number of examples of Jesus exposing the shame of the Pharisees. Shame, from whatever source, can bind a person to religious tradition as we try to cover our shame by working to prove someone else wrong about how they believe, or to prove that we're not inadequate, or unworthy, or indecent. You know, and religion is a lot to do with that conditional love. If I just read the word enough, if I just pray enough, whatever the condition is. Religious people hide their shame in performance and legalism. But love will always stir it up. And Jesus exposed the Pharisees for their lack of love when on the Sabbath he healed a woman who had the spirit of infirmity. And the religious people responded in anger, a typical response of shame-bound people. We are instructed to live our lives in such a way that no one can push our shame button. Praise God. And in order to do that, we have to be free of shame and walk in love. And when we have dealt with shame, then whatever shame the enemy tries to bring us will be turned back on him again. 1 Peter 5:14-16. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So I know there is a stirring in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit is moving in each and every one of us. I know he's already brought to mind a lot of different circumstances in our lives where we allowed shame to come in and to begin to rule over us. You know, but now it's time to own up to that sin and to evict a few shame spirits from our thoughts and lives. But before we begin, I'd just like to pray. Father God, hallowed be your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. And Father, I know that many of the things that happened to your people when they were children, even now, up to now, were not in your plan for them. And I ask you, turn aside distraction from the world and hell that would draw any person away from participating in this prayer. And that you would open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand and to receive your truth. And I ask for an increase of your Holy Spirit presence in every heart so that the different situations that you want to deal with are brought to their minds. We recognize that you, Lord, are the deliverer, and we can do nothing without you. Give each one of us the courage to forgive those who have shamed us and to forgive ourselves. We trust you, Lord, and we are listening. Thank you for freeing us from even more shame. So if you'd like to get rid of more shame, pray this with me. Just repeat it out loud, and then I'll do some cleanup afterwards. Praise God. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I admit that I have believed that I am flawed and defective. I repent to you, Father, for believing that lie, for receiving it, and for living it. I renounce the lie of the enemy right now, because I have your truth and you don't make mistakes and you are my creator. I commit my life right now to love, honesty, and discipline so that I can loose myself from feelings of worthlessness. Forgive me, Lord, for not taking personal responsibility and for blaming others when there is a conflict. I have also blamed myself and assumed conflict was my fault. Forgive me for that too, Lord. I can see that shame has taken me out of balance. And I ask that balance be restored. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my ancestors for opening doors and establishing generational shame in my life. I forgive them and all those who used words of shame to hold shame in place. I release them into your hand, Father. And I ask you to forgive me for accepting their words and allowing them to define me. I forgive those
who brought shame into my life because of the circumstances of my birth. And I release them into your hand. I take responsibility for all curses that attach themselves to me through generational iniquity and birth circumstances, including the curse of illegitimacy. And I give those curses to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my curse bearer. I forgive those who use shame as a motivator, those who traumatize me, and those who shamed my nakedness. I ask your blessings on them, and I ask your truth to flow into their hearts. Lord, I thank you for showing me that it's okay to have needs, for showing me how you can fulfill them all. Father, I will allow you to work in my heart so that I can receive your truth that dispels the lies of shame. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for truth that frees me from shame. Amen. Okay, you did a good job. I'm just going to clean up some things. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I stand here before you for all these people here tonight and our generations, forward and backward. And I cancel the bastard's curse, the illegitimate curse, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I take authority over spirits of shame that came in through unwanted pregnancies in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There was another thing I made in my notes here. Excuse me. Okay, I'm going to do it this way. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against Satan and every spirit guide, principality, power, ruler of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, demons on earth, demons under the earth, devils, I'm ghosts, I don't care what you call yourself. I say, the Lord himself rebuke you through me. I bind of shame, guilt, fear. I speak to the unclean, unloving spirit that tells you that you are worthless, and I tear down the lie of shame that says that you are defective, flawed, worthless. I break your power words and I reverse that curse. I declare that those words will bear no fruit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I speak right now to every spirit that manifests as neurotic behavior in the name of Jesus, that there's always conflict, that it's always your fault. Neuroses, get up and leave now in Jesus' name. Go. neuroses, disorders, symptoms and syndromes coming out of fear and shame, rise up, leave God's people now. As I speak, I say the Lord himself rebuke you and any other form of neuroses, anxiety disorder, panic disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, bipolar disorder. Come out and go in Jesus' name. I come against character disorder, where you automatically assume that it's always someone else's fault. I speak to that strong man of accusation behind character disorder, trying to bring shame and slime God's people. And I say, not on my watch. I strip you of your legal right, and I command you to rise up and leave them now in Jesus' name. And whatever's going on there in the belly, I slice every entanglement and any kind of web or nest that's going on in there in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command every spirit that's been lodged in there like a nest of vipers, every egg, you are crushed, every entity, you are expelled by the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is no argument against the blood. And I come against all personality disorders coming out of shame, paranoia, schizophrenia, any form of delusion and psychosis and dissociation. Get behind us, Satan. You're an offense unto us, and we don't have time for your shenanigans. So, Father, I come against every one of these things and the pain and the sorrow, Lord, and I close those door points where the wounds and the stings have come in, and I pluck out every one of those thorns and stingers from the thistle and the briar in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I throw them on the consuming fire of the living God, that they rise not up again. I come against every door point of shame, and I speak to shame in every entity that, Father, you know these people can stand against in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I cast out generational shame, shame around the birth, hidden pregnancies, fear of getting pregnant, fear of being exposed, fear of being killed, exposing nakedness, being unwanted, being partially or tried to be aborted. And I come against that curse, and I speak to that spirit in my friend on this line. And I said, this is the day that you are fully evicted. You may no longer enter or implant thought in her or in anyone else in the sound of my voice and my bloodline in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I speak to shame coming in through rape, assault, abuse, through violence, through bullying, through multiple births where one sibling dies. Get up and go. Every time I name a door point, Father, I ask that you pull down that porter of shame and place a godly porter in its place. I speak a reverse of the curse, the reverse of shame, that value and honor and glory be in its dead. And I come against every door point of gender rejection, shame as a motivator, teasing, labeling, unrealistic expectations, punishment, and trauma in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Shame, you've been called out, you unclean, unloving spirit. that blocks God's people from love, peace, joy, and humility. The Lord rebukes you through me. And Father, I thank you and praise you that you did not give your people a spirit of shame, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I just speak right now to every disease that has manifested due to the mind-body connection of shame. All autoimmune diseases coming out of shame, rise up and go now in Jesus' name. I separate you with the sword of the Lord, the sword of Gideon, and the sword of Gretchen. And I slice, dice, and put you to flight, as well as any other disease, especially in the GI tract. I speak to colitis, up and out, go now in Jesus' name. IBS, go. Get out and leave God's people. I speak to allergy, asthma, food allergy. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break your hold over God's people. And I thank you, God, that these are your people, that you have called them unto yourself. Praise the Lord. And Father, as we go, I pray for each and every one that they would have their basic needs met. Lord, you are God alone. Hallowed be your name. I pull down, you know, I just stand in that gap and I send far from everyone in the sound of my voice anything that has attached itself to them in the spirit, soul, or body. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to rise up and go, never to be seen or heard from again in the name of Jesus. And I take back for them, Lord, every single thing that you want for them to have. I take back for them being loved unconditionally, and I pull it down into this dimension and release it to be fulfilled. I pull down knowing the intrinsic value in you as an individual and your purpose to play, and I loose the glory of God in that revelation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pull down for us all the measure, the power of our lives, that we do not feel hopeless, powerless, that we know that we can shift things in the spiritual dimension and bring the goodness of God in the land of the living by helping, by visiting those in jail, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick. Praise the Lord. I pulled down from the heavenlies the acknowledgement and the need to be known, to be recognized for the wonderful creation that you are, created for His pleasure. I pulled down for you an avenue in which you can be heard and feel important in. I know that you have a way to speak your glory into this world, and we need to hear it. So I pull down that avenue and I open the way for you to be heard and for you to show how important you are to us all. I pull down for you the protection by someone that you are not unprotected, that you know that you have a community of people, no, not perfect, but they are there and they love you. And I pull down for you being understood when you express yourself. I thank you, Father, for the clarity of the communication in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Arsar Shalom. Okay, I'm going to open it up now for questions and comments. I hope I didn't go terribly long. Not too bad. Okay, just give me 1 second. Okay, so the only way you'll be able to be heard, you'll have to hit the *6 key on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, you'll remain muted.
Whoa.
So next week we'll be looking.
Wow.
Oh.
All I got to say is oof. Oof. Wow. Thank you, Gretchen. That was very replete. Praise God. I don't have much to say other
than
that.
Glad you're on.
Oh, boy. I am too. May I never recover.
Yeah, so I was saying next time we're going to take a look at some of the barriers and cycles that create shame, the bricks in the wall. Is that Mr. Mitch out there?
Thank you, Gretchen. Thank you, Gretchen, for such a great... We're bringing the great word to us tonight. Thank you, sis. Please forgive us.
You're very welcome, man.
Thank you, sis.
Appreciate your support. Yeah, I really do. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Gretchen. It's Joan. Same
gratitude. Oh, you're welcome, Joan.
It's Lisa. The church has set us free. I just want to say the church has set us free. And it's so much truth and so much wisdom. And praise God that we can be free of shame and we can live the life the Lord wants for us and we can experience all that he has for us. And thank you, Gretchen and Vicki, and for teaching us. And we just sit at the Lord's feet and we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. It's awesome.
Yay.
Praise God.
These are really great praise reports. Yay. Okay.
Thank you, Becky.
You're welcome. Okay, whoever has the, who's driving, could you mute the phone, please? Sounds like somebody's driving, not the wind. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Okay. So next week, again, we're going to keep this up for a little bit. We'll be looking at some more of these door points and also dealing with door points more like we did. We'll be looking at things like poverty, again, parents, friends, marriage, divorce. And we're going to also take a look at some characteristics of shame-bound people. And, you know, I'm going to do a lot of deliverance in that area. I'm going to kind of go through that and keep us separating. And that was the thing I was reminded this week. My friend Catherine, she just said, you know, Gretchen, you know, maybe you're not separating yourself enough from this. And so I encourage everyone, when in doubt, separate. Separate in love. Okay. So, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We thank you so much that you draw us all together and that you've given us of your spirit and that you've given us of a family. And I thank you for this family, Lord. And, Lord, I just pray that we won't shame each other, that we can find a way to see the best and the good and bring out the very best things in each other. I know it's a challenge sometimes, but we're still here for a reason, Lord, and I'm just grateful for that. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. Amen. And I just was reminded before we go, I just take authority over every spirit that would try to take advantage, any lying vanity. They would try to take advantage or retaliate against any of God's people for listening to this or getting free. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. And I forbid it to happen. And let it be known that if two or more agree on anything touching God's will, we have whatsoever we ask. So, folks, there won't be a battle this week. We'll just see you next week. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Good night.
Love you. Bye. Good night. God bless.
God bless. Good night.